you don't mind my asking, I was wondering, how back in the early 60s, I think is when the Irvine Master Plan got underway, how were you approached to do it, and what was your approach then to undertaking it?
You mean the overall plan of Irvine, or
well,
the,
and
the
in
plan
particular
the campus?
For the campus.
Oh, for the campus.
And how then the campus did fit into the community, what role it was to play.
Well, I did both the master plan of Irvine,
right,
the area, right. The town, almost 100,000 acres, and selected the site for the university.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I got involved with the university to select several sites in the southern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
One turned out to be where the University of California at San Diego is, and the other where Irvine is.
Right.
And the reasoning was different for both of them. But in particular, we felt that Irvine was a chance to build a university and a town together, that most universities historically have had the problem of starting out small and not having enough land and no master plan of the campus as it relates to the town, and no master plan of the town. And our studies in depth reveal that there were occasions in the last, since the 13th century, where a town and a university started at the same time.
So in other words, Irvine then dates back to this great tradition?
Irvine dates back to the successful traditions of where there was enough land allocated for the university to grow and grow a community at the same time, which would be largely affected by the university. And it was for that reason that we set Irvine down in an area that did not border on an urban concentration, but had 10,000 acres at the very least around it.
Right.
And the 10,000 acres was a product of our studies where universities and towns had grown together.
Did the regents have any specific goals other than we want to develop both? And what was sort of your relationship with the regents?
Well, the master plan for higher education, which is kept up to date in the state, indicated that there would be a number of additional universities and colleges. And what part of the state they might be. And I was hired by the regents to locate two universities in the southern part of the state, without any instructions whatsoever. And the course that we followed was first to study the university as an institution, and what are the attributes of a great university.
So how were students taken into consideration? I mean, their needs at the time, and then the growth of the facilities.
Well, their site selection problem, which allowed for a variety of campus characteristics and a variety of ways that the town could grow around it, greatly influenced by student life and faculty life and the relationship of town and gown. So that our studies were objective studies. there were no students at Irvine, but they were objective studies that dealt with where we had found indications of successful solutions to the problem and where we had found unsuccessful ones.
What were some of the unsuccessful ones?
The unsuccessful ones? Well, one, for example, was UCLA getting close to home. I mean, too little land was allocated for UCLA. Also, it had been located where it was largely because at the time it was located, the Pacific Electric was functioning and going from downtown Los Angeles all the way out to Santa Monica. And the university site was chosen because it was midway between the city of Santa Monica and the city of Los Angeles.
Are you familiar at all today with the situation in Irvine?
Well.
Have you had recent contacts?
Yes, I'm still on the campus planning committee.
When was
and I've been on that ever since it was formed.
When was the last time you visited UCI?
About 10 days ago.
Oh. Well, then are you at all familiar now with the student situation there, with their sort of a feeling of alienation that the students
between the town and the...
And it's not that so much as it is just the students and the campus itself, where they'll run away after class back to Balboa Island, and that the campus really isn't being fully utilized for all its great capacity.
Well, I don't think that enough of the amenities are yet there on the campus or in the town. That's one of the reasons. I mean, a university does require a town, in its own kind of town. And that town simply hasn't been built, but the land is there to build it.
Well, this morning I read your interview in the LA Times, and you talked about Marina Del Rey being a fine example of enclaves of entertainment. What sort of enclaves of entertainment will there be in store in Irvine?
Well, other than that which will be on campus.
What do you mean by, what do you think the campus should be providing that isn't there already?
Well, the campus will be providing much more housing of a variety of types in the inclusion areas that are part of the campus land.
Under major considerations, the low-cost housing for students.
Well, it would be low-income, low-cost, and for faculty and students and staff.
Mm-hmm.
And commingled. I mean, all prices
right.
Commingled so that there's no distinction between
ability
to pay and ability to know.
But what about the entertainment aspect?
Well, on campus you have several theaters and you have the farm and you have the park.
Well, the park is usually empty for the most part.
The middle of the campus?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it otherwise.
Well, on great carnival days. But just during normal classroom hours, you would think students would use it to sit and study. And they're really, out of 8,000 students, there aren't that many. You can almost count them on your finger. Would you have any observation on that?
Well, I think I would. If you've ever looked at the master plan of Irvine, of the campus, it's intended to have something like 50,000 people going in it, and through it, and around it every day. And like Central Park in New York, the whole population of New York isn't in Central Park.
Yes.
But for those the park has an appeal, it's there. And it is probably the only campus that I know of where its symbol really is open space,
right.
A park,
right.
And not a building that would become antique after a while and torn down.
So,
as that campus grows, that park will not change, although I feel that sometime in the future there'll be more activity in the park. I mean, bowling and all kinds of things. I'd like to see it a much more active park.
So would everyone.
Now, the town, which is adjacent to the campus, should have movie theaters and legitimate theaters and shopping and a mix really colored entirely by the relationship between, or the influences of the university on the town. That's the reason we built Newport Center where it was, so we wouldn't get Newport Center next to the university, so that there would be buildings and inns and small shops, ma and pa restaurants and so on that were in scale with the university. And possibly the working population of the town itself would be almost entirely students. And because most of them do work.
To a large degree.
Yeah.
Of the buildings on the campus, as a master plan architect, I don't understand what a master plan architect really does in relationship to each building. You don't specifically design it yourself.
Yes, we do both.
Oh.
A master plan is a bona fide attempt to predict the future as to what will take place in the next 30, 40 years while this campus matures. So it was laid out as a campus to accommodate 25,000 students and a variety of disciplines, some of which are not yet on campus. And not only that, but to relate it to the industrial and research and development activities that are taking place near the campus. And there will be other businesses that will be moving in there that will be of interest to the students and the faculty. Now, what this then is the product of a master plan is a look-see at the future. And that's a master plan of the Irvine Ranch in terms of land use. Now, as necessary as these buildings or open spaces are essential, there's a place for them to go.
Well,
that's not capricious.
Right. Oh, I've seen all the master plans.
Now, I did some of the buildings, quite a few of them, particularly in the beginning, so as to kind of set the pace.
Well, those are quite futuristic in themselves.
Well, they're a response to a number of influencing factors. One is that the topography is undulating, and therefore it makes it possible. As for example, there's a difference in elevation of the park from one side to the other of almost 80 feet, variation in height. So what happens is we have an opportunity to enter these buildings at several levels, and all of them that have been built so far recognizes that they can be associated with the ground and with the circulation system.
So it wasn't so much, because I've always noticed that to go anywhere on campus, one actually has to just go a little bit out of his way. So it wasn't, you didn't want to be as efficient as you could be aesthetic.
Well, I mean, there's nothing permanent about a curriculum.
Oh, right.
And most of these, of the buildings that are located on the ring, which is called the mall, these are the beginnings of disciplines that each one of which will be the size of Caltech someday.
Right.
So that the biological sciences and the other life sciences will be related to one another and eventually attach themselves to the medical school. And the humanities are right at the beginning of the university and will probably have a greater relationship to the town than any other. And the commons will, which is at the gateway, will dissolve into the town. And the town should dissolve into the gateway. The other problem was that we do have white hot skies down there. Very seldom do we have blue skies. So the buildings were designed with some kind of a protection from the direct rays of the sun and still get views.
But there is a great scarcity of windows in some of them.
Well, and some of them were in the laboratory type buildings or the lecture hall, the windows are in opposition right. to the
all the more reason during
use.
Some lectures. Another point I wanted to bring up, and I don't know any bearing it might have on the campus itself, is that there were recently a series of drug busts in the Irvine community, the neighboring high school, which borders on the campus. And I think the Los Angeles Times ran an article on that because there were no facilities for the high school kids to enjoy after school, and they turned to drugs. Mm-hmm. Any perspective on that?
Well, I think that that campus, in the first place, you're dealing with something that doesn't involve the campus, does involve the town design and the priorities in the town design. What should be built first? I mean, to have houses so far away from other forms of occupying oneself during the leisure hours is risky no matter where, whether it's in the San Fernando Valley or down there. Don't forget that master plan was done barely 10 years ago. And we're talking about a population of jobs alone of over 40,000 jobs in less than 10 years. And one of the largest retail districts or shopping centers in the country. And that's all 10 years. There's about 30,000.
The building is going up every day.
30,000 people living on that site, although that site will accommodate many, many more. It's you're in on something that's changing every day, and more accommodations are coming in. And I would have preferred to see the university town come on stream faster, but there was not enough patronage to support it, and no one was of a mind to donate stores and sell things free. But it'll all happen in time,
right.
And there's something that be gained and something lost. I mean, as the open space gets lost, then you gain something.
How much of it do you think will be lost?
So far, none of it's been lost. In other words, that plan, which was adopted in about 1961, has had very few changes.
And there are great green belts, aren't there?
Yes.
Well, because sometimes as I drive past Park Newport and through Fashion Island, it's almost frightening to find the whole housing tract filled. In fact, to look down on Harbor View,
well, there's a, that is a problem in economics. And that is in order to get the houses down at a price that a particular segment of society can afford, it requires, with a land price fix, virtually by the tax assessor.
Oh, sure.
That you have to get so many per acre. They are closer than I would like to have seen them from an idealistic standpoint, but I understand the economics of the problem.
Right. Well, just three more questions, and they're sort of interrelated. You said you designed some of the early buildings. Which ones in particular do you?
Well, the library and the commons.
And the humanities complex.
Humanities and the science. And
physical science.
Physical science. The Fine Arts Center. The Fine Arts Building.
Right.
The housing, Mesa Court.
The original units?
The original units. The original units.
Oh.
And there's been they have been expanded somewhat.
Yes.
Then I'm doing some new housing between engineering and...
Mm-hmm. They're almost completed.
Yeah. But that's another type of housing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And then the master plan includes some... Someday, some high-rise.
Still?
Yeah. That which will be close in to the campus.
Oh.
And will be more part of the campus.
Well, of those early buildings that you designed right on the ring, Campus Park, especially Humanities Complex, they evoke a very definite style. Any particular name for it, or?
No, as I told you, it's responsive to the problem of topography and
so it's
and
solely
don't forget
the
there wasn't a tree on that campus.
I was there. I've been there quite a while.
There wasn't a tree. I mean, all that planting has emerged in these 10 years too. So to some extent, the fact that they are urban structures. Rather than country types, is because one day that is going to be a city.
No more deserted island.
That's right.
I can get away. That's almost sad. Some of the Freudians on campus sort of detect a note of sexuality in the buildings. Any? What would be your comment on that?
I'm flattered.
Oh, all right. How about just the sexuality of current architecture in general? And I'm obviously thinking of the Transamerica Pyramid in San Francisco.
Well, there wasn't no sexual base for that either. It's had its interpreters.
I'll sleep better tonight.
It's interpreters that way, but it wasn't. It was an effort to provide more light in the street and a safer building from an earthquake standpoint.
I find it intriguing. Finally, and I promise you this will be finally, if you had it all to do over again, and knowing sort of what had happened in the late 60s with student activism, if that had played any role in it, what changes would you make in your Irvine master plan?
Well, I wouldn't make any changes because just a very small part of the master plan has been achieved. And you can't plan for the present or the past. You have to plan for the future. And the future isn't here yet. Never is.
No, that's true.
But I have seen no reason. Well, the fact that there have been very few changes in the plan indicates that the balance that we chose was successful.
But hasn't it been slowed down in terms of projection of number of students?
Well, I don't know whether it has or not. But they're still clamoring for facilities.
Yeah.
So I assume that it probably will be one of the campuses that will continue to grow. Maybe at a faster rate than the others.
Okay. Do you see any interference from or know of any interference from Governor Reagan or the current administration, as we should say?
Well, there's less money available, mm-hmm. and not saying that that's altogether bad.
What has it brought about? Just better, much more careful study of building?
Well, I think the budget of the university and so many other things becoming more costly at the university, that the capital funds just weren't available. But they've had, all campuses have had to improvise somewhat. And the growth rate, I mean, whether this would mature in 20 years or 35 or 40 years, really doesn't matter to me, because it's gonna be there that long at least. And it may move at a slower pace than, but the end result's gonna be the same. I mean, you don't amortize universities.
No. Yeah, I do get the feeling that it's one of your more proud efforts, I would hope. How do you look upon it?
Yes, I am. Well, it's one of those that's happening. You know, we do so many things that never happen. But Irvine, both the ranch itself and the campus have are there and are in motion. And I think will eventually be one of the most successful places to live in this country anyway.
For how long, do you think?
Well, if the plan's followed, eventually the density that it can hold will be all that will be tolerated. I think we're all learning that we can't have an indefinite amount of density in our cities. So I would suspect that the kind of controls that we'll see in the next 20 years will deal with densities rather than land use exclusively. So that it should be a pleasant place, and it isn't too late for contemporary legislation. And I would say that a good many of the students who are going there to the university will be able to settle in that area and make their living. Not all,
yeah,
but a higher percentage than you would find ordinarily.
Well, great. Mm-hmm. I thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
I'll certainly send you a copy.